great to have you with us. Thank you very much for joining us today. Hopefully you have copies of the Palm Sunday service words, and also if you've made a palm cross, that would be great. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Bill. Good morning, Matt. And anybody else who's joining us as well. If you have the service sheets to hand, we begin our service. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Hosanna to the Son of David, the King of Israel. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. I hope you have your palm crosses ready. Here's one I made earlier. We're going to hear the reading from Matthew chapter 21, which tells of Jesus coming to Jerusalem as king. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and they placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Grace, mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Please hold up the palms that you have made or any that you have, and we'll pray that God may use them as a sign of blessing. And if you have the words, we say them together. God, our Saviour, your Son Jesus Christ entered Jerusalem as Messiah, to suffer and to die. Let these palms be for us signs of his victory. May we who bear them in his name forever hail him as our King and walk with him in the way that leads to eternal life. Amen. I'm going to hand over now to Alan, who's going to lead us in our songs of praise.
Good morning, everybody. We're going to start by singing that one well-known hymn, make way, for Christ the King in splendour arrives. And again, singing Hosanna to the King of Kings, glory in the highest heavens, for Jesus the Messiah reigns. Jesus Christ the Lord, Hosanna to the Son of Praise. Hosanna to the King of Praise. Glory in the highest heavens. Jesus the Messiah reigns. Oh, Jesus the Messiah. Thank you, and I'll pass back to Malcolm.
We come now to our prayers of confession, which you'll find on the service sheet. Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have failed you, as did your first disciples. We ask for your mercy and your help, and we take our ease rather than watch with you. Lord, forgive us. Christ, have mercy. When we strike at those who hurt us, rather than stretch out our hands to bless, Lord, forgive us. Christ, have mercy. When we deny that we know you, for fear of the world and its scorn, Lord, forgive us. Christ, have mercy. May Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness. And keep you in life eternal. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Our Bible reading for this morning is going to be presented to us by the St. Tim's Youth, who have dramatised the story of the Passion. And we hand over to them now.
Hear the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. One of the twelve, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest and said,
"What will you give me if I betray him to you?"
They paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that moment he began to look for an opportunity to betray him. On the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying,
"Where do you want us to make the preparations for you to eat the Passover?"
Jesus said,
"Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says my time is near. I'll keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'"
So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, he took his place with the 12, and while they were eating, he said,
"Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me."
And they became greatly distressed, and began to say to him, one after another,
"Surely not I, Lord."
Jesus answered,
"The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him. But woe to that one who whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one to not have been born."
Judas, who betrayed him, said,
"Surely not I, Rabbi."
Jesus replied,
"You have said so."
While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to the disciples, and said,
"Take, eat, this is my body."
Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying,
"Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it with new with you in my Father's kingdom."
When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them,
"You will all become deserters because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go ahead of you to Galilee."
Peter said to him,
"Though all become deserters because of you, I will never desert you."
Jesus said to him,
"Truly I tell you, this very night before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times.
Peter said to him,
"Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you."
And so said all the disciples. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples,
"Sit here while I go over there and pray."
He took with him Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee, and began to be grieved and agitated. Then he said to them,
I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me.
And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed.
My father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not what I want, but what you want.
Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter,
So could you not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Again, he went away for the second time and prayed.
My father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done.
Again he came and found them sleeping, but their eyes were heavy. So, leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them,
Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand.
While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd, with swords and clubs, from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying,
Man, I arrest him.
At once he came up to Jesus and said,
Greetings, Rabbi.
And kissed him. Jesus said to him,
Friend, do what you are here to do.
Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and arrested him. Suddenly, one of those with Jesus put his hand on his sword, drew it, and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to him,
Put your sword back into its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But then how will the scriptures be fulfilled, which say it must happen in this way?
At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds,
Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a bandit? Day after day I sat in the temple teaching, and you did not arrest me. But all of this has taken place so that the scriptures of the prophets may be fulfilled.
Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. Those who had arrested Jesus took him to Caiaphas, the high priest, in whose house the scribes and the elders had gathered. But Peter was following him at a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest, and going inside, he sat with the guards in order to see how this would end. Now the chief priests and the whole council were looking for false testimony against Jesus, so that they might put him to death, but they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At last two came forward and said,
This fellow said, I'm able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.
The high priest stood up and said,
Have you no answer? What is it that they testify against you?
But Jesus was silent. Then the high priest said to him,
I put you under oath before the living God. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God.
Jesus said to him,
You have said so, but I tell you, from now on, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven.
Then the high priest tore his clothes and said,
He has blasphemed. Why do we still need witnesses? You have now heard this blasphemy. What is your verdict?
They answered,
He deserves death.
Then they spat in his face and struck him, and some slapped him, saying,
Prophesy to us, you Messiah, Who is it that struck you?
Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. A servant girl came to him and said,
You also went with Jesus the Galilean.
But he denied it before all of them, saying,
I do not know what you are talking about.
When he went out to the porch, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders,
This man was with Jesus of Nazareth.
Again, he denied it with an oath.
I do not know the man.
After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter,
Certainly, you're also one of them, for your accent betrays you.
Then he began to curse, and he swore an oath.
I do not know the man.
At that moment, the cock crowed. Then Peter remembered what Jesus had said, "Before the cock crows, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. When morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people conferred together against Jesus in order to bring about his death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. When Judas, his betrayer, saw that Jesus was condemned, he repented and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. He said,
"I have sinned by betraying innocent blood."
But they said,
"What is that to us? See to it yourself."
Throwing down the pieces of silver in the temple, he departed, and he went and hanged himself. But the chief priests, taking the pieces of silver, said,
"It is not lawful to put them in the treasury, since they are blood money."
After conferring together, they used them to buy the potter's field as a place to bury foreigners. For this reason, that field has been called the field of blood to this day. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of the one on whom a price had been set, on whom some of the people of Israel had set a price, and they gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord commanded me. Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him,
"Are you the king of Jews?"
Jesus said,
"You say so."
But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him,
"Do you not hear how many accusations they make against you?"
But he gave them no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the festival, the governor was accustomed to release a prisoner for the crowd, anyone whom they wanted. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Jesus Barabbas. So after they had gathered, Pilate said to them,
"Whom do you want me to release for you? Jesus Barabbas, or Jesus who is called the Messiah?"
For he realized that it was out of jealousy that they had handed him over. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him,
"Have nothing to do with that innocent man, for today I have suffered a great deal because of the dream I had about him."
Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus killed. The governor again said to them,
"Which of the two do you want me to release for you?"
And they said,
"Barabbas."
Pilate said to them,
"Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?"
All of them said,
Crucify him.
Then he asked,
"Why? What evil has he done?"
But they shouted all the more,
Crucify him.
So when Pilate saw that he could do nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took some water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying,
"I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves."
Then the people answered,
"His blood be on us and on our children."
So he released Barabbas for them, and after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on his head. They put a reed in his right hand and knelt before him and mocked him, saying,
"Hail, King of the Jews!"
They spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. After mocking him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they came upon a man from Cyrene named Simon. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink, mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his clothes among themselves by casting lots. Then they sat down there and kept watch over him. Over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two bandits were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying,
"You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross.
In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him, saying,
He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he wants to, for he says, I am God's son.
The bandits who were crucified with him also taunted him in the same way. From noon on, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And about 3 o'clock, Jesus cried with a loud voice,
Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani.
That is,
my God, why have you forsaken me?
When some of the bystanders heard it, they said,
This man is calling for Elijah.
At once one of them ran and got a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink. But the others said,
Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him.
Then Jesus cried again with a loud voice and breathed his last. At that moment the curtain of the temple was torn in two, from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. After his resurrection, they came out of the tombs and entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now when the centurion and those with him, who were keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were terrified and said,
Truly, this man was God's son.
Many women were also there, looking on from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee and had provided for him. Among them were Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was also a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. So Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn in the rock. He then rolled a great stone to the door of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, Sir, we remember what the impostor said while he was still alive. After 3 days, I will rise again. Therefore, command the tomb to be made secure until the third day, otherwise his disciples may go and steal him away and tell the people he has been raised from the dead. And the last deception will be worse than the first. Pilate said to them,
You have a guard of soldiers. Go and make it as secure as you can.
So they went with the guard and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone.
Thank you very, very much to all of the youth groups there and their leaders for that wonderful dramatic reading. What an achievement. Really, really good. We're able to sing here, and I hope that's a response to all that God has done for us, all the ways in which God has shown his love for us. And Ella's going to lead us as we sing, My song is love and
they rise and needs will have a murderer, they say. The prince of life, they say, they say a cheerful he to suffering goes, that he his foes from them smite free. Here might I stay and sing, no story so divine, never would a dear king
Thank you so much, Ellen, for leading us in that beautiful song. I invite all of you now to join in a response to being heard to the passion of our Lord. Jesus is Lord, to your time of glory. Amen.
Psalm 97, verse 19 says, "When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought joy to my soul." Thank you, Lord, that in the midst of grief, uncertainty and fear, you are able to bring joy because your love is better than life. Lord, help us to cling to Jesus, to the truth that we are forgiven and part of your family. Give us an eternal spiritual perspective on the trials that we're facing. Thank you that you are still on the throne and that you are at work in the world, even when we don't understand what is happening. Thank you that many of us have met new neighbours over the last 2 weeks, that we've reconnected with friends who are far away, that we've experienced new depths of gratitude for key workers in our community, and that we've had opportunities to encourage or to be encouraged by others. And that maybe we've glimpsed more of what it means to depend on you and your grace alone. Thank you for St. Tim's and for the work that Malcolm and the team are putting into keeping services, home groups and youth work running. And we pray that these online resources will be a way for people who've maybe been on the fringes or who've never been to a physical service to come and learn more about your love. Lord, some of us are feeling overwhelmed by work and others are maybe feeling a bit useless because there's nothing obvious that we can do to help. So please prompt us each day to listen to your voice and to contact the people that you put on our heart. Show each of us what the good works are that you've prepared for us in advance, whether or not we are in paid work. And we know that above all, you call us to remain in you like the branches of the vine. Help us to do that wherever we find ourselves. We pray for people whose work's dried up or been suspended. Lord, help us to see one another's needs and to be generous to those who need financial help. We pray for wisdom and resources for the government as they try to provide for businesses and self-employed people who are struggling. We ask for protection for people's mental health while they're not able to work or while they're alone at home. Thank you for all the health workers, carers, delivery people, shop workers, refuse collectors, social workers, teachers and others who are keeping the country going. Lord, bless and protect them. And we especially cry out to you for countries around the world whose health systems are already under pressure and whose economies are most at risk. We pray for big businesses to honour their commitments to suppliers. We ask for the garments industry to be compassionate towards the million workers who've lost their jobs in Bangladesh. Lord, please stop the spread of this virus before it overwhelms countries in Africa, Asia and Latin America. We also remember Christians who are persecuted for their faith. Lord, please draw near to them in their suffering and strengthen their relationship with you. May they know that we're praying for them. Thank you for the example and encouragement that their perseverance is to us. We pray especially for Christians in West Africa who've suffered attacks from Boko Haram in recent years, and we ask that they would be free to worship you. And we bring to you people on our minds right now who are sick, lonely or have been bereaved, who feel afraid. Lord, bring healing and comfort to our friends and family at St. Tim's and elsewhere. Help us to know how to support those who are struggling when we're far away. And above all, Lord, we ask that your name will somehow be glorified in the midst of the pain. Help us to speak hope into difficult situations, to know how to address some of the big questions that people are asking. Please draw many people into your family. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.
And welcome back. I apologise for the technical problems. Thank you, Fiona, for your prayers. And we join together in the words of the Lord's Prayer. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Thank you so much for everybody who contributed to the service today. I've got a little friend here who's been trying very hard to be introduced to everybody, so I thought I'd just show him to you. So if you heard any noises in the background, this is Toby, who'd very much like to be introduced to everybody. There are notices for this week made available by Siobhan there on the Facebook page. Do have a look at those. We'll be here again for morning and evening prayer at 9 o'clock and 6 o'clock each day during the week. And then there are special services on Good Friday, a meditation with Martin Hill on Saturday, and then services on Easter Sunday. More details of all of those on our webpage and Facebook page. So we'll say goodbye to Toby for the moment, and we'll ask God for his blessing. May the Father, who so loved the world that he gave his only Son, bring you by faith to his eternal life. Amen. May Christ, who accepted the cup of sacrifice in obedience to his Father's will, keep you steadfast as you walk with him in the way of the cross. Amen. May the Spirit, who strengthens us to suffer with Christ, that we may share his glory, set your minds on life and peace. Amen. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon you and remain with you, now and always. Amen. And I hand over to Alan for our final songs.